is calling in the bonds of love we meet for the world anew.
Welcome to Muffin Talk. Welcome to Muffin Talk. Muffin Talk is a weekly radio program to which I invite guests to talk about their work and their passion for issues on community programs, social justice, Bible studies, or different religions and faiths. Today I have invited Reverend Ivica Gregorets to a Zoom recording for a broadcast. Reverend Ivica, a warm welcome at Haida Maitea radio program.
Kia ora, Beate, and kia ora, Koto, dear listeners, and thank you for having me, of course, today in your program.
Thank you. Reverend Ivica Gregorets is the presenter of Holy Trinity Anglican Cathedral in Auckland. He is originally from Croatia and has been in Aotearoa, New Zealand, for the last 10 years. For the last few years, he's been involved in a cooperation between the Anglican Cathedral in Auckland, the Jewish Progressive Synagogue in Auckland, Beth Shalom, and Pearl of Island Foundation. Together, these three traditions within the Abrahamic faith also organize some public events. Reverend Ivica, how did this cooperation get started? How did it start?
Thank you for that question. I would believe, and I think that very important way of our interfaith dialogue, Abrahamic dialogue, if you wish, and when I say Abrahamic dialogue, it means dialogue between Jews, Christians, and Muslims, has a great importance. Very often we do involve in our bilateral dialogues between one or two direct religious groups, but there is something special when all those who claim to have some connection with Abraham as forefather of their common faith come together and engage in dialogue or discussion about topics that we can find common in our conversation. In fact, when we started this conversation with our Jewish and Muslim friends some 4 years ago, in fact, someone else said, well, it is a dialogue between children of Abraham, and that is the reason why these annual conversations that are being held in and organized together by Beth Shalom Progressive Synagogue, Holy Trinity Cathedral, and Pearl of the Island Foundation, we titled a whole series. Each event every year is called the Children of Abraham. Someone else also said, we inherit something else which is common to our three religions, and that is that golden rule, which is do to others what you wish that they do to you, but also love God and love your neighbor. So we have really some common foundations in our different traditions to which we can call together and then engage in a very meaningful dialogue. After the first conversation that we had in the cathedral, so 4 years ago, I had the wonderful opportunity to attend an interfaith pilgrimage organized by St. George's Anglican College in Jerusalem, where Jews, Christians, and Muslims, exactly around the time when we had those horrible terrorist shootings at Christchurch Mosque were happening, I had the opportunity to be blessed with such a special occasion to be together, and that has somehow confirmed in me, in my understanding, decision that our meaningful journey of faith can be done together with those who are maybe a little bit different than we are, and yet we can find something in common. And only when we are involved in dialogue with each other as a whole family, we will be able to learn something more about each other.
And how does that fit into the interfaith dialogue in total, in general?
Yes, look, we had to find some sort of format for these conversations. So we have decided that each year, probably around this time, October, November, the Children of Abraham annual panel is going to offer the opportunity to discuss about either certain issues or just engage in general conversation between different representatives of our faith communities. And as I said, this is our fourth conversation. The first one was held in the cathedral. Then year after, we were hosted by the Beit Shalom Synagogue. Last year, we were hosted by Pearl of the Islands Foundation, but of course, that was on Zoom because we were in our lockdown. And now, finally, we are back in the cathedral where we are circulating in this way. So, format is such that each of the organizing groups offers a speaker who is speaker from their respective religious group, but not necessarily the denominational group. So, for example, last year we had a speaker who was from the Catholic tradition, though Anglican Cathedral is organizing. And very often, also this year, Beit Shalom Synagogue is going to call upon a member from the Auckland Hebrew congregation. So we, it is Children of Abraham have that interfaith, Abrahamic focus, but it also helps us in our little intra-religious, if you wish, ecumenical, denominational dialogue too, which is, I think, really, really nice. So by trying to explore what is common to all three of these Abrahamic religions, we really do hope to offer something which is specific on that, if you wish to call it that way, interfaith dialogue market of Auckland, as we do engage in many different ways in dialogue, not only with people of Abrahamic tradition, but also of other traditions whenever we have different activities and organized events.
So the next event, as you indicated, is going to come up on Monday, the 7th of November. Do you do any other events during the year, or is it just that focus on that one event?
Well, I assume you are asking about our work here in the cathedral. We try to have over the year different interfaith events. Mm-hmm. Over the years, since 2017, extremely important interfaith event for us in the cathedral was Iftar in the cathedral, organized in the month of Ramadan for our Muslim friends. And it worked really, really well. We had the opportunity to host different Islamic groups in our cathedral. Unfortunately, you know, the calendars don't always fit, you know, and that is one of the challenges that we have. So, of course, month of Ramadan is moving closer, earlier towards the year. So this year and the next year, the solemnity, the celebration, the holy day of Easter overlaps in Christian calendar, overlaps a lot with the month of Ramadan. So we do, of course, understand that we have our priorities in our respective religious groups. So for this year and next year, iftars are in recess. But that has offered us the opportunity to organize later. We did it this year in August, interfaith dinner, where focus was on Jewish high holy days. So we had speakers from the Beit Shalom Synagogue, and that was a huge enrichment for us in the cathedral. And, of course, these kind of events are not necessarily only focused on Abrahamic traditions. When we organized in September civic service for the late Queen Elizabeth II, I mean, overwhelming answer came from the Buddhist communities of Auckland. And we had representatives of, I believe, 8 or 9 different Buddhist communities, temples, and so on. So dialogue and our mutual knowing each other, respect and understanding continues. But the Children of Abraham annual panel is something that is really important in our calendar because it offers us to focus on certain issues that are important for our religious traditions. Last year, for example, we were talking about how to read our scriptures because, of course, different religions approach their scriptures in different ways. We were talking about issues of ecology and, of course, climate crisis. And this year, we will have a little bit lighter conversation, I would call it that way, because our speakers are going to engage in conversation. We will have three speakers who will be answering to the questions that we have for them and to learn how things work in different religious contexts.
Yes, I see that you have one of the speakers is Jules Geddy, and he was on Muffin Talk a few years ago. And I remember that he started with the words that every good speaker starts with a joke. So I can imagine that it will be a bit lighter with Jules being on the board.
Definitely so. Jules was our dear guest in the cathedral on a few occasions, and he was in fact first Jewish speaker when we started with the Children of Abraham Abrahamic panel in 2019, in fact. So it is good to have him back. Yes, I have to say it is important, and there is another thing which my professor of homiletics, of preaching, has taught me. And he said to me, you can preach whatever you want, just not over 10 minutes. So, you know, I'm sure that with the good jokes and with focus, time focus, our speakers will be really good. Yes, Jules is our Jewish speaker this year. Then Christian speaker for this year is going to be the Reverend Richard Boniphant, who is an Anglican priest and who has got experience in interfaith dialogue. He's a theologian. He's studying, and he has a really great opportunity to offer us a fresh perspective and insight in this area of dialogue. And then, of course, the third speaker, the Muslim speaker, is Dr. Salih Yücel, who is associate professor at the Center for Islamic Studies and Civilization of Charles Sturt University in Australia. So he's coming to New Zealand, and as a part of his visit to New Zealand, he is going to join this panel. So we have really, I believe, diverse group of speakers who will be able to tell us something new.
Okay, that sounds very interesting. And also that you managed to get speakers who are known to their congregation, but maybe not so much known across the faiths.
Yes, I think that is quite important, because in that way we do engage and we do meet people with whom we can start our communication, start our dialogue. I'll give you one excellent, if I may, a little bit digress, you know. Last week in the cathedral, we hosted the Archbishop of the Armenian Apostolic Church from Sydney, Australia. And one homework, and it was not homework, it was work for the tea and coffee time, was for people to meet each other and to engage. So all these opportunities that are followed with some light refreshments and so on are always the chance that people do talk to one another. I think in our day and time today, we cannot excuse ourselves. We don't know anyone of different religious tradition, different ethnic tradition, and so on. It is really important. And we are not naive in our dialogues, I believe. We are engaging, being aware that there are certain differences in our religious traditions. If we would all be just the same, you know, it would be, you know, there would be no need for dialogue because we would be all the same. But I think because of challenges that we have in contemporary world, on the global scene and also here locally, our only alternative is to be engaged deeply with each other, listen to each other, learn from each other, and in that way, learn to respect and find way of living together. I don't like the word tolerance because I don't think that we should tolerate other religions. We should be more than that. We should love each other and respect each other. So I think this is the only way that we have, listening and learning from one another.
Yeah, tolerance has the problem that the original meaning is to bear with them. You know, and that's not really positive. That's only, it's not even accepting.
No, it's not. I in fact, like one of those Romanic, I'm not sure, is it Italian or Spanish word, maybe Spanish, because of their history, convivencia, which means Spanish. living together. We live in our families with different types of characters, so there is no reason that we cannot expand that to everyone in our societies.
But I also think, generally speaking, when you talk about interfaith and interreligious dialogue, sometimes you might not know what the other person believes, what their traditions are. Mm-hmm. But by having events like we had recently, the Exploring Sacred Spaces, you know that you can talk about religion without being brushed off. And so that's, I think, is also a really good, a good component.
Correct. There are, I think, different levels of our dialogue, which we see in many levels, in ecumenical, in interfaith, interreligious dialogue, whichever of them you choose. There is, of course, this formal dialogue when the religious leaders come together, issue some wonderful statement that doesn't change the whole world, but gives some direction how to create better world and so on. Then there is this level of dialogue of theologians when they engage into a theological dialogue and, you know, very often come to the wall to how far we can come in that theological dialogue and acknowledge these are the points where we as members and followers of different religious traditions differ. And then there is also something which we call dialogue of heart, when people of different traditions engage with each other. And very often I would say, you know, when theologians and the religious leaders fail, very often this dialogue of heart can continue going really, really well. It is always danger, I would say, that the opposite happens, that, you know, the leaders and theologians engage and that somehow does not traject down to the grassroots levels of, if you wish, and to the people who have to talk to one another, but they don't. So I believe it is a big, interesting challenge. And then, of course, trying to learn, I mean, from each other, being receptive about good and positive things that we can learn and adopt from one another, not to compromise our different faith and belief systems, because the point of interfaith dialogue is not that, but to be enriched and see that, you know, in our different religious traditions, we have certain traces that are really common and practices that, though they might be different, they have the same intention when we do it. So the work of Auckland Interfaith Council and their visiting sacred spaces program, which was part of Auckland Heritage Festival, is one of those possibilities to hear something about history and tradition, but also to engage and talk with people of different traditions, religious traditions.
I often have to think of this this quote from Goethe, who said, "You don't know anything about your own religion if your own language if you don't know any other language." And I think it applies also for religion, because when you're talking to people of other religions and other faiths, mm-hmm. you find out things that you automatically compare, and they say, "Oh, aren't we doing something similar?" Or maybe, "Oh no, we are doing it completely differently." Maybe we have a reason for why this is so. And, but I think that you get more curious about certain details in your faith that you would have taken for granted.
Yeah. There is, of course, certain, I would always call it, step one is, of course, to recognize that and see. There is, of course, tendency, if we stay at step one, that we just simplify and say, "Oh, we fast, they fast," and so on. But, you know, so it's oversimplification.
Yes.
But then, but if that leads into, you know, understanding of it, that's, I think, extremely important. There is another German speaker whom I like very often to quote, quoted Goethe. I like to quote Swiss, Hans Küng. And in fact, his statement, which is paraphrased and quoted so many times that it has become, too common, I would say, but which really fits, is, and he believes that there is no peace among the in the world if there is no peace among the religions, and so on. And that is, I think, extremely important, because not that religions are necessarily, and they aren't per se, source of all the conflicts in the world. sometimes they can be manipulated into it. But what is more important, in situation when world is in turmoil and conflict, religions have the positive influence, could have the positive influence to transform the situations of conflict into situations of peace by nurturing dialogue and mutual understanding. As I said, I'm not naive. I'm extremely aware that in, you know, situations when there is conflict in the world, religion can be extremely politically manipulated and abused, misused, and yet it's not the essence of it. And I think we have to be constantly reminded of that, and we have to engage in order to allow a religion to achieve its great internal transformative power for good.
Yes, I think that is a real important point, really important point, because it's not the religions that are the problem, but it's the way that powers are manipulating or using religions.
It comes down to power, whatever it is. Is it political? Is it religious? Is it non-religious? It comes down to power and those forces that really wish to manipulate, rule over others in whatever shape and form.
Yeah, and that's why we need to know our neighbors so that we can talk to our neighbors. And even if it was a critical situation, we would still be friends. And I think that is important. Can you tell me, when we talk about the cooperation, is that between a big group of Anglicans and a big group of people of Beth Shalom and a big group of Pearl of Island Foundation representatives, or is it rather a little committee and that has to justify the work?
Look, it is big and small depending on people who reply to the invitation. This annual panel is not property of any one of us. We have started it in good faith, and we wish that we are a small grain that will offer something to grow. But it is not limited to members or chosen members of our congregations. It is not limited to the members of our congregations. It is really something that it's open to everyone who is willing to come and share and be a part of that journey. And you don't have to be a member of any of our congregations. It is open to people of goodwill to come and respectfully engage in this kind of dialogue. In order to attend this event on coming Monday, the 7th of November at 7 o'clock in Bishop Selwyn Chapel of the Holy Trinity Cathedral, we need registrations in order to be sure how many people are attending and so on. So if it is important to register. Registration can be done through the cathedral website, which is www.holy-trinity.org.nz. And under subheading events, learning from each other, the Children of Abraham annual panel will come. So that is important part, just that we can also assure a respectful dialogue and safe dialogue for everyone. We should everyone feel safe. But as I said, it is open to everyone who sees the value, recognizes value, and wants to be part of it. Of course, nothing wouldn't be happening if there wouldn't be some people behind the scenes who are doing their job. And I have to say, Pearl of the Island Foundation over the years has given us different people who were really helpful and big connection with their community to offer help. In Beth Shalom community, that's of course Naomi Johnson, who is a wonderful interfaith engine, I would say, in our dialogue here in Auckland, and I'm extremely grateful to her and to Sahib, who is currently doing this year from Pearl of the Island Foundation, for their really big work, especially Naomi, who is present here from the beginning of this panel.
Can you tell us some of the feedback or some really nice story that you can remember from people who came, like who participated for the first time in something like that?
Yes, I would say it's, look, for many people, especially the first panel was maybe the first opportunity to meet and engage in something like this. As I said, my Jerusalem experience in early 2019 was an important transformative moment. And, I think that dialogue is stronger when more people are involved. There can be bilateral dialogues, but when you have the third party in the room, it brings it to completely different levels. So for some people who attended first panel, it was the opportunity to meet for the first time people who were of different religious background. I mean, people of especially smaller religious groups have that experience much more often because they live, but for many from our cathedral community, this was the opportunity for the first time to see a Jew and a Muslim in one place, and I think, and then talk even to them. So that was, I think, that was a wonderful experience from our perspective. I do remember when we had our discussion on ecology and climate crisis, when we had a really great conversation in with excellent speakers in Beit Shalom Synagogue, I do remember that in question and answers, we realized, in fact, topic of our conversation is extremely important and our dialogue has to be focused because when we come together, we don't try to sort out all the problems and grievances of the whole world. So if you're talking about ecology, we don't have to talk about political situation in the Middle East and human rights that are important, but that are not necessary topic of that conversation. So I think it's every time when we come together, we learn how to be with each other. And important thing is, at least that is my perspective, important thing is, again, not to pretend that there are no differences between, not to pretend that we think in all aspects completely the same, because we don't, but to engage and to see that even with those differences, when we are friends, we can engage and journey together.
Thank you very much, Reverend Ivica. This was really informative, and I hope that you'll have a good turnout and people register with you at the Anglican Cathedral. I have to say, unfortunately, it collides with one of our events at Titi Paunamu, and we have also at on the 7th and on the 14th of November, we have two presentations on the Gospel according to Matthew, 7 to 8:30 p.m. And check out www.studyjoy.nz. And I wish you all the best, you for the interfaith work, for everyone, and kia kaha, and keep safe.
Thank you very much, and all the best. God bless.
Out there, old peace is calling. In the bonds of love we meet. For the world, a new day dawning and shines a light to greet. We're singing, this is the day when the hope is calling. This is the day when the light did shine. This is the day. Can you hear the
உறவுகளே.